What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Angry Dorks. Ron is out successful today. He's out successful.
Yeah, he's doing a little stand-up.
Yeah, he got a last-minute booking and had to go do some stand-up in Vegas or somewhere.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah, so we are without Ron today, so I will be filling in as guest host. The power has already gone to my head. So
indeed.
And all right, as always, we have Ed Greer.
Hello, this is me.
We also have regular guest Mandy DeRito.
Hello.
All right, and we're also joined today by Chris Edwards.
Hello, everyone.
And Brock Wilbur.
What are you talking about? It's me, Ron Swallow.
Dude, that, like, wait, where did Brock go?
That was a great impression.
Spider-Man.
but let's have our guests kind of vet themselves with their nerddom.
Absolutely. That's a great idea to start.
Wow.
Just put him on the spot.
Yeah, yep. What are you asking?
What makes you okay to be in this room with us talking about nerd stuff?
Wow.
Oh, by the way, Matt is playing with
the press conference has started. That's all.
Matt is playing
that
with
makes sense, right?
Okay. So occasionally there will be.
Yeah,
those.
There's going to be weird sound effects and stuff.
Yeah, and sometimes they'll be apropos. A lot of times, no. So just go ahead.
At least he knows what they sound like.
I feel like 50-50 is about what you can hope for with a soundboard, right? We've all heard morning radio.
45-60.
Yeah, right.
45-60. Yeah, exactly.
45-55. Sorry.
Well,
no
math. This is the Angry Dorks show, yep. Right? That's what they call this. I'm a young, for those of you who can't tell by the sound of my voice, I'm a young urbanite. Urban youth. Fighting out there for all the kiddies. As opposed to like playing basketball or things I guess I should have been playing, my sports were like archery and fencing. And I've spent my pretty much entire life sitting in a room watching
this is Angry Dorks,
sci-fi,
not Awesome Dorks.
Sci-fi movies. Well, I mean, you got to be angry when you're swinging a...
Wait, what kind of sword did you fence with?
It was a rapier. I did rapier for like
awesome.
A year. And then I did mostly archery for like 3 years.
When you look at the LARPers that go out there with their foam weapons,
I'm jealous. I'm jealous.
You're jealous? Actually.
Yeah, no, they
You can go out there. What are you
confidence.
Talking about?
They've got a lot of confidence to go out there and just dress up like what they want to dress up like and hit each other with Nerf swords. I'm a little too insecure to do that kind of stuff.
Would you prefer for me to exclusively call you Katniss or Hawkeye?
I would prefer if you did neither of those.
if we could come up with our own
Katniss or Hawkeye.
Or Hawkeye, yeah, those are both terrible characters.
You just cut it
Girl
down the middle.
From Brave?
Cat Eye?
Could I be Robin? I could be like Robin from the Hood.
Yeah. No, but so okay. Well, Chris Edwards is a very
movies.
Smart guy, young
movies.
Urban guy, yeah. Very yeah. into
oh,
movies. Screenwriter.
His podcast, Movies on Trial, is both hilarious and infuriating because it's two people arguing over whether a movie is good or not, and the entire time, you want to just shout at both of them.
I mean, that may be. Probably one of the worst descriptions of my podcast. It's a pretty poor description of my podcast. It's Movies on Trial, where we put bad movies, universally panned movies, on trial and try and say that they're like good, that they might actually be good.
But occasionally also good movies,
yeah, or really good
that,
movies,
that are just
yeah.
universally loved right. like that Ed, somebody hates.
Ed came on and did The Dark Knight. Ed is not a fan of The Dark Knight. So.
And it's
High
still-
fives, Ed.
It's still yeah. one of the, to me, for my mind, all of your episodes are pretty intriguing and good, but I still think, no hubris.
Right.
Even without
your
me,
episode, right.
if some other jerk was
right.
doing that, I really just felt like we were really arguing out the points and you allowed me to kind of get across
right.
the things that I felt were holes in the story.
As opposed to just being like, shut up, Ed. Shut up, Ed. Batman is awesome.
Also, real quick, you are a much better lawyer than your co-host.
Yeah.
Like even when I'm 100% on his side about the movie, I'm like, Chris is winning this thing.
Yeah, Chris is definitely the F.
He Jack Lemmoned
Bailey
me.
of movie podcast lawyers. See, I didn't say Johnny Cochran.
Right.
See?
Thank you. I appreciate right, that.
Brock, let's get your nerd vetting going on right now.
I want to talk about the other podcast. That sounded like a lot of fun. Has anybody done Southland Tales yet?
No. Do you like? Are you a fan of Southland Tales?
Let's book it. Let's book it right here on this other podcast.
Yeah, dude. We're going to get people on Chris Hardwick's podcast from there. All right, Brock. So what's your nerd cred, brother?
My nerd cred. Let's see. I was basically this size. I'm like 6'7". I was basically the size in like the third or fourth grade. So I got to be really into Star Trek The Next Generation, and no one could beat me up. So I got to be a nerd, and it took like 10 years before I realized, like, oh, everywhere else people get beat up and attacked for how, like, and like oppressively into it. Like,
I get to be Worf again.
Yeah, that kind of right. thing. I have a book out called Filmpocalypse, where I review nothing but apocalypse films. I did one a week all through 2012 while I waited for our inevitable demise that did not come.
Or did it?
Or did it. I have a comedy special out called 28 Years Later. And I have a video game movie coming out this year and a comic book documentary. So,
wow.
Nerd creds.
Yeah, those are serious nerd creds.
Parkour.
Parkour?
Hardcore parkour. Headbanging while you're sleeping across buildings.
I didn't get white children cheering for me after mine.
How do you know there were white children?
They sounded pretty happy.
They were pretty happy.
There's some joyous children.
So what we're talking about today is, all right, basically, if you haven't heard the news, Veronica Mars, the creator, has been upset about its cancellation for years now. I mean, I think it went off in 2006, so mm-hmm. it's been like 7 years. And, of course, the same fucking thing happened to him with Party Down, which is also a great show that was underwatched. But he just decided, after seeing some successful Kickstarter campaigns, he said, well, fuck it. We'll raise the money on Kickstarter. And he asked Warner Brothers in advance. He said, hey, if we can raise the money on Kickstarter to make the movie, will you guys let us distribute it? Because they still had the rights to it. And they said, hey, man, we don't give a shit. If you can show that you got that much fan credit, I don't think that they thought that he could do it. But they put up a Kickstarter of $2 million. And they put 30 days to get that $2 million. They had $2 million in 6 hours.
Jeez.
They by the end of day one, they had, I mean, at the end of the first 24-hour period, they had like $3.3 million.
It's kind of stalled at 3.6, but still really impressive.
It's well above. I mean, we're talking about it's like 80% higher than they expected it to be, right? So that's all paying for, you know, more car crashes and stuff.
Well, that's one of the reasons it's stalled. They don't have any real stretch things beyond that. It's not like, hey, if you do this, we'll do two movies or something like that, as many really successful Kickstarters will do. It's like, you have enough to do the movie. We can all stop now, kind of.
Right. Yeah. And they don't need to have $20 million. Everybody can save their money, because now I feel like we're all thinking, because I said to my editor the exact same thing that I saw a friend of mine put on Facebook like 2 hours later, which is Serenity 2? Serenity 2, right?
Right.
I feel like we're all thinking about our own, you know, cult TV shows coming back as movies or in some form.
The thing I feel like, and Lauren Graham actually tweeted about, oh, hey, let's Kickstart our Gilmore Girls movie. And with Gilmore Girls, the way I feel about Serenity and Firefly is that anyone who knows me knows I rewatch the entire series of Gilmore Girls like probably once a year. But the difference between Gilmore Girls and Veronica Mars is that that had a very satisfying ending. I didn't need any more. Whereas Veronica Mars, it was just like, oh, that's it. We're in the middle of these life-changing, you know, this crisis, and everything's going to change for them. And, you know, there's still so much left, and now it's just done. So I don't feel like things like Serenity that had an ending, that had a movie, you know, it's ended, it's done, like, necessarily needs more. Like, Gilmore Girls doesn't need
more. Yeah, there's a kickback to this where a lot of nerds might call out for, like, let's finally see the X-Files ending that we've always wanted or something like that. And then it turns out that it's awful.
No. All right, I'm not giving. I can tell you this right now. I'm not giving a goddamn dime to an X-Files movie because they've already had two X-Files movies and they've explained jack shit.
I just use X-Files as a.
They've had four hours to explain it. And they not to mention 9 seasons or 10? Was it 10 seasons?
Well, but
the
see, that's the thing, though. It's episodic television. I wouldn't have even showed up if I knew we were talking about episodic television because I told your ass. I don't dig on serialized motherfucking entertainment. It always cheapens it. The last time I saw a TV show that ended in a way that it was anywhere near cool was fucking Quantum Leap. Quantum Leap ended.
6 feet under?
Shut up. No, I haven't watched it.
Yeah, well, and Quantum Leap ended the way it was supposed to. Mm. Or maybe the end of Star Trek Voyager. I think the end of Star Trek Voyager.
Well, see, I feel Gilmore Girls ended how it should.
And well, there you go.
It doesn't need a movie. Like, what are they going to do? Oh, Rory's going to go be a successful career woman, and okay, that's awesome. Whereas Veronica Mars is going to, like, solve a murder and probably punch someone.
Headshot.
Nice.
Exactly.
Well, Veronica Mars did have a satisfactory ending. And then they tried to go for a fourth season. Veronica Mars couldn't do the Gilmore Girls jump where Gilmore Girls could survive when she went off to college and stuff. I mean, we have a season of her at college, which was fun, and then it ended. But they actually, Rob Thomas, who in many ways was my Joss Whedon because I got to him way before I got into Joss Whedon stuff, I've always really appreciated his DIY attitude about stuff like Party Down is a show made on zero budget. If you listen to the background stuff on that, they're all like, we broke into this thing and shot the whole episode. And before that, Veronica Mars is very much in that alley, like one of the cheapest shows you could put on TV. And even when they got canceled at the end of their third season, out of pocket, he paid to shoot like a fourth season first episode to try and convince executives that that would happen. And it's a weird thing that you can find sometimes floating around online or as a bonus on some of the DVDs if you happen to have those. But it's really cool that he's the kind of guy that believes in those characters in a way, and he's certainly not the kind of guy that has anything close to, like, Whedon money or most other executives, and he isn't really working on shows that aren't his. So he's one of those guys that, you know, I heard a lot of people that were mad, like, you know, we're giving money to millionaires to make their pet project. And it's like, he's not really a millionaire. Like,
that motherfucker lives in Texas now.
Yeah, he's a poor artist.
He's in Austin with Robert Rodriguez going, like, we don't really need all this Hollywood bullshit, and just trying to do their own thing.
The question, though, is eventually, is this going to lead to one now the only successful projects on Kickstarter are going to be projects that are backed by celebrities? Because if that happens, we're going to start seeing, I think that now we're going to kind of start seeing the original content that was coming out of Kickstarter really slow. And it's just going to start being like, Justin Timberlake wants to direct a movie. He's on Kickstarter. Yeah. You know, I think we're going to start seeing a big trend.
Well, we've already seen that's one of the keys to having a successful Kickstarter is that, and they use this thing uses it, and it's one of the most annoying things about the project is the whole, like, give us $500 and Kristen Bell record a voicemail for you. And I'm like, no one's really in it for that. But, like, some of the worst Kickstarters I've ever seen have already, like, exploited that too far. Like, the Penny Arcade guys did one, like, last year where they were like, we'd like to give you our exact same website but without ads for a year, and that'll be like $1 million. And the reward system was nowhere near anything that made that kind of thing that wasn't really creating something interesting. It was like $300 for us to retweet one of your things like once. It was like, whoa, your scale is completely off on this.
But this is what I'm talking about is like the reward system. I don't think anyone got into the Veronica Mars thing for the reward system. I think they got into it because the reward was getting the Veronica Mars movie.
Right. Which, of course, that's why the basic level ones of like $25 is the T-shirt to commemorate it.
Right.
And $35 is the T-shirt and a digital copy of the movie. You're just paying for the movie in advance.
The thing I'm scared about is that people are just going to keep cashing in on fans, like fanboys love so much, the original content is just going to, like...
Plus, it's almost like the same thing with, like, Twitter, right? I know this is a leap, but, okay, if I wrote the most brilliant tweet of all time, I have, like, what, 100,000 Twitter followers? So if I wrote I have 1,000 Twitter followers, so if I write the dopest tweet of all times... What?
Okay. Please let it be about the Quantum Leap finale.
Then you are going to get several million views less than whatever inane thing Kim Kardashian's posting.
Exactly.
At the same time.
She could be like, getting my butt massaged at the butt massage place. hashtag stupid bitch. And
it doesn't even have to be that interesting.
That would be a king tweet of hers. I'm just like, hey, you know, people are so fake. Don't you agree? Type shit will get more, you know, right. So it's the same thing with this. Any asshole with a vanity project, John C. Reilly. If John C. Reilly from Boogie Nights and other fame decided he just wanted to do a Barbershop Quartet album or something.
Mm-hmm. He could raise the money for it in a day.
A million times faster than
which
anything.
He has something very similar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Does he?
Yeah.
What is it?
He plays old-timey banjo stuff. Ukulele. He's got a partner. They got a record out on Third Man. It's really good.
What's up with
I thought
this,
only 25-year-old girls play ukulele.
Wait, what happened?
That was a communication breakdown.
Yeah, but it was like, jabba, jabba, jabba. Okay, what?
I don't know. It's like, the outcome of like follows and retweets and all that kind of stuff, I don't think is all that important. I'm just really worried about, we had a really fun institution where people who had no money and no exposure whatsoever were able to kind of like raise money, even though for the most part, if you see someone's like Kickstarter on your Facebook page, you're just like, leave me alone. You know?
Okay. But, well, as individuals, we might not have any way to combat that. People using their fame and just bullying into the Kickstarter system as individuals.
It.
But what en masse would you like to see the nerd community do? I mean, like just shame them or what?
Well, I think that there's going to be, there might be like a kind of like, wait a minute, why is Steven Spielberg on Kickstarter? You know, trying to raise money for his next movie. Like, it might be one of those, like...
Spielberg's the bail point. When we see Steven Spielberg on it, that's where we can all bets are off.
I may be giving them too much credit, but I think the internet might be a little smarter than that. Like, I think people who are really on Kickstarter looking for cool things to fund, they're not going to be like, oh, okay, well, whatever actress wants to star in whatever movie... shitty thing she wrote. If they're looking for something to fund, they know what they're looking for, and they know what type of thing they want to give their money.
You know why the internet is super smart? Because it got Google.
That's true.
And the thing that even in your worst case scenario that pans out okay for everyone and makes things like even in your worst thing kind of awesome are that every time there's a major Kickstarter event like this that other news media outlets cover and draws attention. It has a bleed effect over all the other projects on Kickstarter at the time. Like last year or a year and a half ago when Double Fine did their adventure game, they raised a couple $1 million, but at the same time, they like doubled all the money coming in for all video game and game related entertainment stuff that was there. And so there's a lot of people that are out there. There's like, our thing never would have happened if like people hadn't have known about the Double Fine thing. Right. And after they donate, it's like, hey, if you're interested in this, here's three projects you might. And people are like, yeah, $5 for that. Sure, I can put that in. I'm sure the same thing's happening with the Veronica Mars.
Well, I know when I donated to the Veronica Mars Kickstarter, I went and, you know, not even in the movie category. I browsed other topics because it said, oh, here's some movies you might be interested in. I was like, well, I'm going to go see what's going on over here.
That's a good point.
I think all content that comes out of this is good as long as it's... I love this idea that you can fund the entertainment that you want ahead of time. Like when I ran a Kickstarter for my video game movie, people were kind of asking about... Like the idea was a little newer and people weren't exactly sure about how they felt about it. I was sort of like, oh, well, like I know in a couple months the movie Battleship is going to come out. I'm going to take a date to see it. I'm going to take a date to see it, and I'll probably see it at Arclight, and I'll probably pay for parking, and I'll pay $50 for an experience that I know upfront I will not remember the next day. But at the same time, like, I have a friend who's got a thing on here, and for $20, I can help their, like, story about their grandmother and their trials and tribulations and this short film that really means a lot to them be a thing that exists. And, like, a lot of those things that I've backed have become things that, like, I'm more proud of than stuff I've individually made. Like, giving $20 to make a indie game, the movie, happen. And that's still something I'll turn on Netflix sometimes and, like, cry at how good it is. It's like, oh, my name's not the end there with, like, 10,000 other people. But I'm so proud that that thing now exists and that I could have anything at all
so
to
like
do with it.
So, like, 40% of the movie is just credits rolling. Like, names of donors.
Dude, indie game, the movie, is the shit. They put their foot in that fucking movie. Movie, man. It's very awesome. And it really shows you game developers that don't have 15 acres of dudes helping him do all the code. Two dudes, Super Meat Boy. Two fucking dudes over 4 years making a video game. One of them's married, but the chick is all like, I'm sewing booties for the baby we'll never have. You know what I mean? Because this dude is all fucking all about this video game forever. Right. Meanwhile, this other dork is chilling in his house. He's like just super fucking sad. The fucking video game came out and made like $1 million. He's like, yeah, man. Well, you know. Still a virgin and stuff.
But that movie took its money and its stretch goals and did incredible work with it, because the finished product, that film follows three games, but those filmmakers followed around like 10 games.
Right.
And they followed them for like a year plus, like getting all this stuff. So what you got when you were backing it, and as you added on like a $5 near the end or whatever, you could get like the collector's edition, which had a bonus disc, which is essentially an entire second movie filled of the exact kind of stuff done in the same way and with like a very like good level of production and stuff. And like, oh, they didn't just stop with their thing and they had something else to be working for, and it helped spread like, and that kind of project pays off creatively, because it's a movie about people that are trying to be creative and don't have support, and it brings that attention to them too. That kind of trickle down obviously worked out well for them.
Right. I think my favorite Kickstarter project is the Uncle Ruckus one that Aaron Magruder has up right now. I just love the idea of like an artist, especially a filmmaker, coming out and going, hey, like, do you like this idea? Like, just a really quick preview trailer. And even at the bottom, you know, there's like the big Uncle Ruckus thing with him holding the Confederate flag or
Uncle
something.
Uncle Ruckus crashing shit, like the BET Awards, is the funniest fucking shit. If you have not seen this, go on YouTube now and just type in Uncle Ruckus crash, and you'll get like every thing that he's crashed. It's amazing how much that guy looks like him with the makeup.
It's the guy.
Yeah.
It's the guy who does the voice. And
is it Kevin Michael
poster,
Richardson?
I think it's something that's like that. He was in Malcolm in the Middle, I think. He was like the black guy in Malcolm in the Middle.
He was the dad of Stevie.
Yeah, exactly. Stevie's dad in Malcolm in the Middle. And
does he do a voice on the Cleveland Show now too? Or something like that? Is that, I'm taking,
he does
another,
voices for everything.
Yeah, he's a lot of voices. He was also in Harold and Kumar. He's the guy in the prison.
Oh, okay.
Black guy in the prison.
Well, I got a big penis. That keeps me happy.
Exactly. But just at the bottom being like, if you want it, I think that's so cool. Because it's almost like what Alfred Hitchcock used to do. Like his trailers would just kind of be like, well, this is what's coming. Like, get you know, just him like talking to the audience. Being
right.
Like,
but it's also a great thing for artists too, because the inverse is true. Because it's like, I have this idea. Are you interested? And if not, we do not have to do it.
Right.
And no one needs to spend at the end of 30 days. Well, I can say good day, sir.
There's no waste of time.
The one thing I will say though, on some straight up super devil's advocate jazz, is the day we start asking these simple fucks for permission is the day that art dies. Honestly. So in the end, if you really want to do it, it doesn't matter if any asshole out there or a group of assholes or a group of wonderful Brock Wilbers or whatever want to fund your shit. You still got to do it.
I didn't know you were multiple people.
The but as a counter to that, right now the system is set up that you're constantly asking permission.
Yeah.
That you're asking the permission of a few executives instead of asking the permission of the people in general. And executives usually know jack shit about what nerds want to see.
Hey, neither one is valid, but this isn't some fucking false dichotomy situation we're going to build here, brother. All I'm saying is, you don't ask for permission, period.
This is
not from people, not from executives, not from anyone. You make it as best you can.
I mean, that's the thing that you have to put, especially when you're talking about filmmaking, you have to say as best you can at the end of it, because it's such an expensive thing. But only thing I really want to put here at the end of it is that the cool thing about Kickstarter is that it is going to make it. So if you don't do it yourself, at least for the first thing, no one's going to want to see you, because no one really wants to spend money on a nobody. And we just talked about how we have like guilt over throwing money at Ben Affleck or, you know, Steven Spielberg.
Was he in Battleship? No one knows.
but if someone like goes out, makes their first project, and then their second project, they take it to Kickstarter.
Right.
I think we're going to start seeing that lot of the, all right, well, prove to me that you're at least really interested in art once, and then I'll help you.
Right. Because the very first time we see a dreadful 3-hour Kickstarter movie, it's going to be the death knell of a lot of shit.
Yeah.
It's going to be the death knell of a lot.
Well, I mean, I don't think that we're going to see any Okay, no, we will see this. I just don't think it'll get funded. But it seems like you're worried about somebody doing a Kickstarter movie where they're like, you tell us what you want to see. Like, if you'd like the hero to be a male, donate $10. If you'd like him to be a female, donate $20. And so like,
are we starting this right now?
Best idea ever. We need to get on Kickstarter right now. I mean,
we'd basically be making our movie the same way they made Garfield. And also the Catholic Church.
Oh, and there should be a sound effect for that.
Yeah,
right?
No, what the fuck?
Yeah, there's no sound effect for that.
I was busy lasagna celebrating myself.
Are there children crying?
Wham!
What? There it is.
So we're leaving here immediately, and the five of us are going to go start like the Build Your Own Movie Kickstarter,
that's
right?
So funny.
If you think the villain should just be a cat.
I don't think we even need to vote on that. We're taking it to the internet.
Also,
in fact, the villain, the hero, the weapons, everything is going to be a cat. The setting is going to be a giant space cat.
In what year?
Cat. 20 cat, yeah.
20 cat.
In the year 2000 and cat.
Inside of a gigantic floating cat.
The cat has not gone well for the cat. Kitty.
Our hero, 25-year-old Cat Catterson.
It just sounds like you've got a Mad Lib and you filled in the word cat.
Oh my God. You donate $200, you get to pick a word or two-word phrase that goes into the opening crawl.
$300 purple trombone, Jew panties.
This would be the most successful Kickstarter of all time.
Dude, and at the end, there's an 800 number where you can kill Robin if you want to.
You know, yes!
Just call in. Just kill Robin for no reason. Did the cat kill Robin? We don't know. Our votes haven't been tallied yet.
So what do you guys, kill Robin?
Yeah, obviously, kill Robin. That was an old Robin. That was like a 45-year-old
sure Robin.
That was Red Robin. He's old,
Jason,
right?
Jason Todd. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. oh, man.
Right now, though, what I think the short term is going to be, because everybody looks for where the puck is, not where the puck is going to be. I feel like in the short term, what everybody's going to be going after is TV shows or movie series or book series that they're like, why the fuck hasn't that gotten made?
Right.
Like,
right.
For instance, one of my favorite books is called Pest Control. And
yes. Why has that not been made? I tried to write it 4 years ago.
Basically, this guy wrote a screenplay, and it's he couldn't get it made, and he said, well, God damn it, fuck you guys. So after like 4 years, he moved back to Mississippi, and he wrote it as a novel. Boom, bestseller.
So good.
And so you think, hey, well, that's a gimme. That's going to get made. And it still hasn't gotten made, okay? But I mean, it's a genius book about an exterminator who, while drunk, takes out an ad so badly worded that everybody thinks he's a hitman. And so when they hire him, because it's also like the mail's not going to the right address. So when they hire him with the packages or whatever, the first couple guys die accidentally. So everybody thinks this guy is so fucking good.
Right.
And he becomes like the best hitman in the world on accident out of nowhere. It's genius. And it's a great farce. And I can't believe it's never been made. But I mean, you look at other things like, I mean, obviously they have the rights to Preacher. It just keeps not getting made because somebody's attached. And then they go and do something else. Like Sam Mendes was attached, and that was gonna happen. And then he was offered James Bond. Mm. And it's like,
yeah, what are you gonna do?
Like, what would any of us do? Right. Every single one in here would go, oh, James Bond. I can make a Bond movie.
Might take Preacher. Just
hey. Hey,
no, because Preacher will always be there.
Yeah,
James Bond is immediately going to somebody else.
That's very true.
That's definitely true. Well, I think though, I mean, one thing I do think we might see more of is like maybe like somebody buying the rights to something and then Kickstartering it up.
You exactly, I mean? But that's pretty cool,
like,
right?
Somebody could buy the rights to Pest Control or whatever.
My dream has always been to see a gritty reboot of the Boxcar Children, but now, thanks to Kickstarter,
Yeah, I want to do.
It'll be more like boxing Helena.
Weird.
I want to do Hobo with a Shotgun, but with like ultra high production values, like 70mm film, and like Robert De Niro from like 1978 acting in it, just really serious, like. Are you talking to me?
Exactly.
Time travel?
Yeah, I was about to say. How much are you going to have to ask for to get 1978 Robert De Niro?
That's a stretch goal.
They're just going to CGI him up like Benjamin Button. Don't worry about it. It's fine. CGI could do everything. It'd be cool if CGI could print money so you could fund all these shitty movies that are made out of CGI, like Jack the Jackoff Stalker. Fuck that movie.
Reacher?
Jack the Giant Killer or whatever.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm looking at this CGI. It looks like I did it with my dick in a paint set. You know what I mean? It's just awful, dude.
Your dick is amazing.
Yeah, your dick
is amazing.
I think we can all agree.
That's a drop right there. That's a drop. Your dick is amazing.
They called Ed because they had to animate giants.
Or at least their dicks. So I just think it's like, it's this weird section of time when, yeah, I think we're entering this weird dichotomous time, period of time where it's like indie movies that just rock out real hard, made for a dollar, and then like these super ultra movies and like this middle ground of movies that everybody's been saying is disappearing, like the middle class,
right,
is actually going to disappear.
Well, I mean, it's pretty much disappeared now. I mean, the whole deal is... We got all of these like $20 million and $30 million movies in the 90s. We got all these like just, you know, $10 million, $20 million, $30 million, a lot of weird things. I mean, like you go back and like and look through. I mean, if you were like me and renting everything you possibly could from Blockbuster shelves in the, you know, 90s and early 2000s, you saw that there was some crazy shit.
That was like a Netflix you could go to.
Right. Yeah. For our listeners who are too young to remember that. It was a Netflix where people were rude to you. But there were so many weird movies made because the way home video worked, they were charging so much for home video that they were making a profit off of everything. So the name of the game was get out as many movies as possible.
So it doesn't matter what it was.
Everything ended up at least in the black.
Could have a life on video.
Right, so rather than making a big $200 million movie where you're like, oh, this is going to be huge, you know, we'll just put all the advertising behind that, they would rather make $10, $20 million movies.
Well, my friend used to work at a video store, or maybe I'm making this up. I don't know.
Was it you?
No, it wasn't me. But he used to work at a video store like at the beginning of the shit, and he said like a tape of like a Dolph Lundgren movie cost $90. And it was just fine because they could rent it like a billion times, you know, and it was just, they got their consumer grade super tapes or whatever.
Right. And they still weren't like DVD quality. They still did wear over time. But the whole idea, I mean, like if you don't believe him, like just go back and watch like early Seinfeld. That there was a whole episode about the fact that he forgot to return a movie and then he had to pay like $80 or $90 for it. Young Woman's Journey to whatever, you know, you guys remember.
Right. So, I mean, so that being the case, it's like, I don't know, but what's the new distribution? I mean, I guess Netflix.
See, that's the thing. Distribution is now going to absolutely disappear. If I was like a studio exec or a distribution guy, I'd be literally shaking, fearing for my job because it's now going from, oh, this artist is going to make a movie and it's going to show up on his fans' iPhone, and that's it. No offense to
all the people that are doing God's work and making good trailers and whatever, but like, fuck those people.
Trailers or distribution people?
So many of the people who are doing marketing are such a bad job. I don't want to see the whole movie in a fucking trailer. If I already know I want to see the movie, like Iron Man 3, every time a trailer comes on, boom, I'm out. You know what I mean? I'm not watching.
Until we can industry-wide accept a standard that we will put nothing in a trailer that occurs in the third act of a film or later.
But they can't do that because
that's where they put the big tentpole thing.
You need to show it.
Occasionally, you do see good trailers, and you're like, why don't more people go with that house? You know what I mean?
Well, a lot of those guys don't even know what the movie is about that they're editing. They get it, and they're like, all right, it's an action-adventure thing.
Nolan Batman films did this incredible, because I never saw one of those trailers and I actually had any interest in seeing the movie. And I love Batman, but I would see those trailers like, I have no idea what's going to happen there. I don't really get it. I know it's going to be great because I've got no details at all.
Like,
right. Yeah, see, I prefer to go, like, my favorite way to see a movie is to go in knowing nothing. Like, going in to see Attack the Block. That was great. Ooh, its name was Attack the Block. It wasn't even like aliens come to whatever. You know what I mean?
Didn't even know what it was. I love that movie.
And so we went with a big group to see it for free in one of those Q&A screenings.
Yeah.
And a friend was like, what's this movie about that we're about to go see? And somebody's like, oh, it's about aliens. I'm like, just don't tell her. Like, why tell her? Let's just go see it. You know, let everybody be shocked.
Well, yeah, I know some people, though, they're just fucking spoiler-holics. And I'm just like, oh, stop it. Like, they know the ending of everything. And they think that they're artsy, so they can, well, I just want to see how it's constructed. And I'm going to blah, 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 blah. Shut the fuck up. Well, just watch something.
I hate with
what happened to enjoying stuff?
With social media now, like, you can't even like a show's page on Facebook because they're like, hey, next week on this show, this person dies. And it's like, Facebook. Why are you spoiling it for me?
Yeah.
I don't know how many comedians at this point I've had to unfollow because they went to see a movie opening week and they had to get their joke out about some plot point. And I'm like, it wasn't that joke was not worth you spoiling the movie. Unfollow.
And then you're done.
It's like, I'm sorry, Kumail Nanjiani. Like, but I wanted to see Prometheus for myself. Like, you got to give that shit 2 weeks, man.
2 weeks.
Well, I think the Parks and Rec Facebook. Like, right after the show aired, they're like, oh my God, can you guys believe so-and-so got engaged? And it's like,
so-and-so got engaged? Spoiler alert, I haven't seen it yet. Jesus Christ, Mandy, come on.
I know you've seen it because we watched it together.
See, but this
together,
is when
sir.
I kind of start disagreeing with what you were saying earlier about not liking episodic television is because it's like episodic television allows for those amazing spoiler moments, like, you know, those spoiler-worthy moments because you put in so much time.
It's face during that stage was hilarious.
I feel like the lights were about to turn off and someone was going to die.
Well, no, I definitely don't want to start like some giant debate. All I'm saying is, to me, it seems like when you start getting into like when I was watching Star Trek Voyager, I hate the fact that I reference Voyager so much, but it's one of the only series I've watched all the way to completion because I just get super fucking bored. It's like, kiss Jordan Catalano or don't, bitch. I'm done with you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, fuck.
I don't understand why Janeway didn't just kiss Jordan Catalano. after he wrote that song about her and everything.
I don't know what any of these references are.
My so-called life. All I'm saying is like, in Voyager, case in point, they started getting bored. This chick, six of nine. This chick, 6 of 9 or whatever, she's like a robo chick. She used to be a Borg, and then they divested her of Borg technology, but she's still halfway Borg. Super hot, walking around all sexy. And they keep trying to make this relationship with her and like the doctor, and it doesn't quite work because he's old and he's like a hologram. They start trying to make
Wait, hold on. You know, it's kind of a May-December thing. Also, he's intangible. Like, I mean,
we've got really different views politically.
It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Eve 6.
So she tried to get with the hologram. Then she tries to get with like somebody else or whatever. And then they manage some retarded, crazy way to just jam her right up Chakotay's ass, the other so-called handsome lead on the show. They just jam her right up his ass and make her his girlfriend. Like, you're going to be his girlfriend and we're going to wrap this shit up. And it's just, they decided to do something. They got old and bored and just decided to add a Cosby kid. It fucks with me, man.
I love the aversion that that as an audience have started developing towards the love story, you know, just because it's so forced on us all the time. Like, every story needs a love story.
I absolutely agree. When they're going out of their way to keep the will they or won't they alive, it's like, maybe you could just move the story forward
maybe
they
could get together and it could be really interesting.
And maybe if they get together and it doesn't work out. My only gripe with Serendipity, Serenity, whatever the fuck, Josh Whedon's thing with the ship.
You don't like Serenity?
I love it.
Serendipity.
But that's the same. Yeah, that thing.
When Captain Mal Reynolds meets that hot chick in the patisserie and they almost get together, but unfortunately she's raped and murdered by Reavers.
Yeah, that one. No, but I'm I'm just saying, like, when you watch these episodes and shit, him and that hoe character, okay, no, she's a consort. She's not a regular hoe. She's got all these special techniques of being a hoe. But the bottom line is, she sleeps with dudes.
Look, if you go to school for it, I think you deserve a little recognition.
Okay, fine. She got a PhD in hoeing.
There's my white children. Don't they sound like they're having
fun? White children appreciate it.
White kids love hoes.
No, but she's got this PhD in hoeing, and this captain of a ship who's a super Han Solo fresh character is hemming and hawing, and will they or won't they, and over this hoe bag that's kicking it in his ship. Hey, fuck me or get off my ship. I don't know. Like, maybe I'm a callous, but the bottom line is that to me isn't a love story.
And then she's all sad.
I actually think that's fair, because in that particular case, first off, 13 episodes is not 13 episodes is not too long for a will they or won't they. But the whole thing of he is not comfortable with the hoeing thing because he comes from a backwater planet where hoeing is considered weird. Well, it's considered, you know.
Also,
so
she sets also up the rules at the beginning,
right? And he
uses her hoeing to proceed his smuggling. So
he can get access.
Very clearly in love with her, and he can't ask her to stop hoeing because a hoe is what she is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You can't ask a hoe to change for you,
she's
Ed.
She's like a politician hoe.
Especially because she's the only respectable person on that ship. It's like,
that is the funny part. That's
beautiful
part.
Stop hoeing and being like more legitimate than any of us on this ship will ever be.
Right. Yeah.
Do you know,
I found that very intriguing.
Do you know where it was going? He said before, Joss Whedon has said where it was going. In fact, it was a subplot of the movie Serenity that was just cut for time.
Mm.
She had a terminal disease, and that's why she left the ship and was on her own planet for Serenity. She's dying already. They're not, the will they or won't they is they won't, because she's going to die.
Yeah, she's dead.
Isn't that amazing?
So,
come on, give it up for that.
You got the fly space hoe on your ship, and you're going to kill her off for no reason? I mean, damn. That's worse than the will they or won't they.
There's just no pleasing some people.
Edgar just got so mad he turned into Cat Williams.
And there are other space hoes out there.
That's a bunch of mean-spirited hoes.
Right.
Your
dick is small.
At you guys.
Those are Cat Williams hoes.
Well. Gosh, record scratch is always classic. Yeah. So that's all I had to say about that. I mean, I don't like will they or won't they's, and I just really wish Mulder had just been like, hey, Scully, come on, yo. You know you won't do
it. I love that the real life answer to that is, oh, they will. Apparently they will.
Right.
Well, that's why one of my favorite movies was, like, as far as action love stories, was like The Mummy, because they get together in the second one, and the second one, they're like actually married and like,
and she's a mummy.
Kids or whatever.
Yeah, the mummy is her in the second one.
Yeah. It was a weird turn, but I thought it added to the story. But just like, you know, watching a pair of adventurers who are now, were in love, had that whole like love story, happy ever after, and now they're just like in a regular marriage, mm-hmm. trying to make it work while fighting mummies, I thought it was really interesting.
What I love about the game Skyrim, I got to marry my adventuring partner.
I know,
we got to get gay married. It was the best.
I am fine with a love story.
She's a woman?
Yeah.
Look at that.
No, because Skyrim is more progressive than the real world.
Just like Mass Effect. Mass Effect, you can have gay relationships.
Skyrim takes place in Massachusetts. That's all I have to say about it. It got gay married, man.
Okay.
We're in a very happy gay marriage.
I got to explain it, man.
I get it.
Cat Williams.
What was I talking about before Mandy started talking about having gay sex with her avatar?
I don't think there's ever a bad time to talk about the gay sex I'm having on Skyrim.
No, I agree. I just need to, I have no idea what I was talking about beforehand.
Space
hoes? You know what I think we need? A record scratch. That's what we need.
Well, I mean, and also one thing we wanted to talk about in regards to, so what is everybody's favorite, you know, show that they would kind of want to do this Kickstarter treatment for? Like kinda
show or book or movie series where you're like, oh, they never got to the eighth one of whatever it was.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense.
Clone High.
Clone High animated show on TV back in the day.
That would be cheap.
Most brilliant thing I've ever seen on TV.
Clone High was so funny.
Ends on an incredibly brutal cliffhanger. Yeah. Like, to the point that when I got to, like, film writing school and, like, learn how to write a spec script, the first thing I wrote was, like, this is what I think season two of Clone High would... No one knows it. It's not going to ever help my career. I just want to have it. Like, that's the thing I would kickstart. And that has a diehard fan community in the same way. And those guys have only gotten big. I mean, they did that, and they went on to do, like, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs and 21 Jump Street, and the other dude went on to do Scrubs and Cougar Town. Like, they've got much bigger followings, and the, you know, people that find that show now love it. Like, I'd love to kickstart that.
The question is, are they still so attached to it that despite their new things, they still love it.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that would be I think the issue with a lot of the TV shows you'd want to bring back is like, hey, do you want to bring back older, fatter versions of the characters you once loved? And with an animated show like Clone High, an issue.
And speaking of animated for one second, the first show to do the comeback was not even this. It was, it was Family Guy. Family Guy did the comeback because Adult Swim bought up all these shows. Yeah, the DVD sales destroyed, but also Adult Swim bought up all these shows that weren't, that none of them were long enough to last the syndication. Baby Blues, Oblongs, all these shows that were, I don't know when the fuck they originally aired.
Mission Hill.
Mission Hill's the best. And you can buy the DVD set for $3.
The Clerks animated series, which I watched those two episodes when they played them on TV. They played episode four and then episode two and then no more episodes.
Not even flashback episode six, which they could have knocked out two birds with one stone.
Exactly. So like they didn't, all of these shows that weren't on long enough to get syndication, they didn't reach their 80 or 100 episodes or whatever they needed, but Adult Swim was able to buy them up super cheap, and then it turned out, they just needed a little time. They needed some sort of a better lead-in. They needed to be grouped together, and, you know, God the Devil and Bob didn't work next to the Wayans brothers? Shocker. You know what I mean? It's like, those are not the same audience, you know? But yeah,
I think the takeaway from what we're saying is everything we would like to kickstart was something that was ruined by Fox's marketing department. At some point.
Yeah, I was about to say I want to do a Kickstarter for Herman's Head.
the PJs? I want to bring the PJs back. Can someone bring back the PJs for me, please?
The PJs made it to season two, right?
I think so.
There's two seasons.
Claymation, Eddie Murphy. Mm-hmm. I love that show, actually. I think. You said Firefly. Firefly would probably be.
Well, Firefly was the thing I thought that has the fan base that they could do it.
Yeah. But didn't somebody like once try to start like when Nathan Fillion was like, if I ever won the lottery, I would bring this back, and they're like, hey, let's kickstart it, and he was like, no, let's not do that.
They were trying to get the rights themselves, but they were also trying to bring back the TV show, and doing it as a movie is a different thing. He's committed to Castle. I don't think he can legally go do another TV show.
And that's what everyone involved has. They have the money.
Right. You know, the hoe is on Homeland.
Homeland.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's kind of moved on.
So, they could easily do a movie if they could find a month.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that could happen.
You know who else is on Homeland? The chick that kissed Jordan Catalano.
Yeah, full circle.
I also think just because I met him, Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Oh, Josh Friedman?
Yeah, Josh Friedman.
Josh Friedman's awesome.
When I talked to him, he was like so beat down because he felt like the studios never really gave
If only they'd make a movie out of that Terminator series.
Right.
Oh, God. I really want to know what happens to John Connor.
I mean, I think it's a pretty interesting story. Like Sarah Connor's like story, I think is really interesting, and I'm a huge Terminator fan, so I would love to see that like kind of done right.
Well, they could really get the money if they tied in fans from multiple shows into one like spin-off movie that combines both. Like, we took the Sarah Connor storyline, but also Reaper. How about the two of those?
That is what they should. That is what they should take away from the Avengers. They should take away the idea of the comic book crossover. I mean, how much did you love it when Norm and Cliff from Cheers would show up on Wings, you know, or something like that? Like, how much did you love it when something would cross over when you were a kid? Mm. I mean, that was the best.
Ghostbusters versus Freddy Krueger, one of the best fan movies of all time.
That's brilliant.
Like Harlem Globetrotters and everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, they were They were.
I love when Mun from Law and Order is just on every other show.
Are the center
they go
of every,
everywhere, yeah, the center dude.
Of every TV universe.
They were this close to making Freddy versus Jason versus Ash.
Really?
Like they were.
I would have watched
this close to it. They ended up just. He ended up just turning the script into a 6-issue comic book miniseries just because he had the fucking script and he was tired of. Like he knew he was never going to get to make it.
Right.
Because Bruce Campbell's fat now.
I wouldn't mind if like Kevin Smith did like. If he like tried to do something on Kickstarter, or if Warren,
well, he doesn't need to. I mean, yeah, the way he did Red State was very much sort of fan,
pretty much in the same.
Yeah.
Oh, but here's one though.
But he
honestly
did it more old school. Actually, he did it the '70s way of like touring it around the country.
His was to get rid of distribution costs.
Right, he did it the grindhouse way.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean,
that's
awesome.
But he also asked for donations to make the film, and none of the rewards for that involved getting a copy of the film, which is what people were upset about. They're like, even at like $50, $100, I'm still going to have to buy a copy of this at some point.
Right. I have to buy a copy of something I basically am responsible for. Thanks a lot, Dick.
Right.
You know. But the one thing I got to say about Warren Ellis, Warren Ellis has one of the best projects in my personal wheelhouse in regards to something that needs to be made. It's a comic book called Global Frequency, and it's fantastic. It's even had a pilot made before, but they just half-assed it so hard, it's ridiculous. But basically, it's about basically just this chick named Aleph or whatever, and this chick, Miranda Zero, and they run this organization of all these great minds and just average guys like stuff. Like, you might be an expert at xenophrenology. You might be an expert at, you know, linguistic whatever. I'll get you two fuckers on there and a bomb squad do it because a crazy language bomb is over here. You three, in the next 5 minutes, I'm going to pull you out of your classroom, Brock out of his studio. We're going to get into a fucking gyroscope helicopter for the future. Go over and solve this crime because only we three can do it. And Miranda knows about us and puts us together in these instant really Mission cool. Impossible teams. So every episode could have different characters, giant character arcs, different characters popping. Oh, it's fucking amazing.
That sounds great.
Am I completely wrong here, or is xenophrenology the study of foreign heads? Like foreign scalps.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
All right. I was just making sure.
It's a weird bomb.
I'm that one in 10,000. Wolverine.
Thank you, Wolverine.
So, yeah, I just want to get that out. The Global Frequency, anybody who hasn't checked it out, just literally read it. Tell me you can't see an awesome television series or movie in that. It's ridiculous.
Or The Gone Away War. That book would make such a good movie or TV show. Mm-hmm. It is, like, set in the future. It's one of the only books where it's, like, the team, it's, you know, just good old, like, action-adventure team, but they've already saved the world, like, once. And now they're just kind of, like, off, like, doing their own thing and drinking, and then they have to, like, do it again after someone invents a bomb that just makes people go away. Like, they don't die, they just disappear, and that is
that
a fantastic
book.
Zone.
You wished him into the cornfield?
Yeah.
I mean, I've said before that my favorite show of all the ones that Fox put on the air and then canned right away was Brimstone, but that just, it didn't have time to build up enough of a following. Like, you know, Firefly, it was word of mouth, and years later, you know, it picked up on the DVD. There's no even DVD set of this.
But see,
I would kickstart the DVD set of a bunch of old shows that only lasted one season so I could own that season.
Right, let's bring back
that
the DVD.
Would be a great, I'm all for Netflix. I love Netflix. I love every streaming site. I don't need to own things as long as I can watch them or whatever. But if we're talking about something that I can't watch, that's not available anywhere, fuck you. I mean, how long did it take us to get a Briscoe County DVD set? How long did it take us to get that Flash TV
and
series?
Briscoe County cost like $100.
Yeah,
for the DVD,
it's like a season and a half.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I also propose Last Dragon television series. A little known Barry Gordy classic. Show enough. Bruce Leroy battling it out for the heart of Brooklyn.
I love that movie.
I would like to, at the last minute, add an amendment to that, including a Denver the Last Dinosaur.
Okay. Deadwood should be finished.
Deadwood would be a cool movie. That would be a cool movie for people to kickstart.
Hey, you got John from Cincinnati. That's more than a...
You know what? I feel like you're right.
It should be finished.
And they should explain that Raylan from Justified is his great-great-great-grandson.
Right.
Dude, I think we should do mashups, well, too.
Because, like, you know, I mean, those are based on historical characters. And yeah. So, like, the very next year...
he comes back.
Well, the sheriff, what's his name?
Bullock.
Bullock meets, like, in real life, became best friends with Teddy Roosevelt.
No, I'm sold on Teddy Roosevelt. We're almost out of time. Okay. Plug your Twitters.
All right. I am a Street Credwards.
wonderful.
Yeah, so it's just C-R, then my last name, Edwards. Look me up, tweet weird things, and treat it. Sometimes I talk about biddies.
Brock.
Brock Wilbur, at Brock Wilbur on Twitter, brockwilbur.com, and my comedy special is at 28yearslater.com or on Amazon or iTunes.
And I am, of course, Ed Greer Destroys on Twitter, and supportdestruction.com is my website with my full calendar.
And
I'm not on Twitter.
I'm at Matt Blackwood on Twitter, and you can also listen to my podcast, What Were We Talking About? Our most recent episode was Erica Innes talking about vampires.
I'm on that too, so if you like me more than Matt, you should check it out.
Yeah, that's Mandy's
like,
podcast.
Like,
as well.
Don't let him put you off of the podcast because I'm there too.
But of course, you can listen to us every week here on Skid Row Studios. It's the Angry Dorks podcast. See you later, guys.
Like a scruffy in a photo.
Don't be unwise, judge me not by my size. You won't believe your eyes, watch the X.